I don't know if you have a particular impression of the Apostle Paul or not. For the purposes of this sermon, it's not required that you do have one. It's just that I know that some of the more experienced biblical students among us here do have more than impressions. They probably have strong opinions about the Apostle Paul that range from everything to the very appreciative to the less than appreciative. Paul gets on some people's nerves, is another way you might say it. I think it's fair to say that a general characterization of the Apostle Paul's writings is something like this: heady and wordy and dogmatic and complex and aloof, maybe even obscure and severe at times. He certainly does like run-on sentences, which I suppose I can relate to as well. And he certainly can be a bit obnoxious, which I suppose I can relate to as well. So let's stop the comparisons there before we go any further. But it occurred to me with this passage that you could see Paul in a little bit different light than those characterizations we often hear. And I say that simply for the reason that Paul here in Corinthians is using this image of the human body as that image for a community of believers. And it's a pretty simple and clear, even creative and engaging, evocative image to use. I think it connects with most people very clearly and well. I even think Paul tries to be a little funny here, a little playful with his body image, right? If the whole body were an eye, now wouldn't that be silly? I mean, that's my translation, but that's kind of what Paul is saying, right? It's not a big joke, but still, for Paul, it's pretty good. Sure, Paul still gets a bit complicated and wordy at times, but I just want to give him props for this engaging image. It's basic and earthy and clear. It's accessible and relatable. Good job, Paul. And then appreciating that from Paul, what's interesting is that there's even more to this image that meets the eye, pun kind of intended. What a number of commentators point out is that the way Paul uses this image here is actually has some radical and provocative implications in its time. Because in the social, political, religious climate of that day, the image of the body in writings of scholars was used as a way of putting and keeping people in their place. Something like, the powerful are at the head of the body, and you lowly people are the feet to support us, and that's the way that it is, and that's the way that it's going to stay. I'm sure it was said much more eloquently than that by Greek thinkers, but that was the use of that image of the body then. So what Paul is doing here is not just using an engaging image. Paul is doing what I like to call creative subversion. Paul takes this body image expressed in that culture as a means of hierarchy and subordination and uses instead the image as a way to express mutuality and worth for all members of the body. Paul here is turning upside down the established meaning for body as subordination, instead offers a picture of the body as a being about diversity and interdependency within that diversity. Right? Paul speaks of Jews and Greeks, of slaves and free, all part of that body and all mutually valued and important in it. He's making a radical statement. Paul is describing the body gathered together in Christ as breaking down the world's hierarchies and divisions and building up a whole new organism to be a part of. Well played, creative, radical Paul. Well played. And I suppose we could just leave it at that, as there remains much in the church still to fulfill, for the church to do to fulfill that image. There's plenty of hierarchy and division and distinction present for us to face in our own lives, as a congregation, as a denomination, as a part of the church in the world. But it seems to me that if the Spirit of God led Paul to do some creative subversion with that image in his day, to undermine a common mentality then, that we too might be called to the same. What I'm wondering is if in our time we need to take that body image and extend it beyond the church, if that is the creative, radical call for us to hear. Because clearly here, Paul's image is about the church, right? I believe that's what Paul intends, what he describes. I'm not trying to do some complex reasoning like maybe the Apostle Paul would in order to say Paul isn't really just talking about the church here. He is, and that is good. But there are two things that I hear in this passage that make me wonder about this body image as a creative, radical image for our time, too. And the first is this. As Paul plays through this image of the body and the design for diversity within it, one of the questions he poses is this. Can the eye say to the hand, I have no need of you? Or the head to the feet, I have no need of you. I found that to be particularly strong and haunting language. I have no need of you. To express to someone that their existence is unnecessary, worthless, useless, for anyone to feel defined by I have no need of you, strikes me as dehumanizing at its essence. And the second thing that struck me was this. This image that is about the church, that the church is the body of, this image says that the church is the body of Christ. But it never says that Christ is the church, right? The church is a body made alive in Christ, but Christ is not contained by that body. No, Christ is the light and life of the world. And here's how I think those two things come together in our time. That what the Spirit is speaking to us through this body image in this day is that wherever there are people and places that sound like this, I have no need of you, that there, in fact, the body of Christ is found. What I mean by I have no need of you is circumstances in which people's lives are cut off from meaning and hope, cut off from agency and joy. Throughout this season of reconciliation here at Hope Church, you hear stories of people caught in human trafficking, their lives taken away. People placed in prison in ways that deny their humanity. We hear in our world people displaced from home but recognized nowhere as belonging. Refugees, aliens, illegals. I have no need for you. And we know that in our public discourse, that those who do not fit a desired template of race or gender or discrimination or class or politic or creed, that such are denigrated or dismissed. I have no need of you. In so many ways in our world, that is the kind of body language present that sets others aside, discards them. Now, maybe it already seems very much to you and to me that we are called as the body of Christ to serve such people and such places. Amen. But today, what I think is creative and radical is for us to see others not simply as objects of service, but as themselves part of our body, as part of the body of Christ, as part of us. For us not only to say we are called to serve, but that we witness to our own need for those diminished parts of our body to be healthy and whole as well. To witness that we are mutually blessed when all can live into the fullness of life that God claims for this world in Christ. As we see the outline of the body of Christ as one that includes all people and places into a call for unity in diversity, then the Spirit opens us not to see others around us, but to see always a part of our own body, a part of Christ's own body, each one made to share life and light that Christ gives to the world, made to share each one's sufferings and to rejoice in each one's joy. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we can say to no one, I have no need of you. And in that creative subversion, the outline of a body no longer divides but reveals the fullness of our calling. We find ourselves as part of a body of people and of creation in which all are loved and needed by our God. We hear the Spirit of the Lord calling to us to claim this time with God's favor, to which I would say, well played, radical, creative Spirit of Christ. Well played. Amen.